Good day. Welcome to your legislators at Brookings Radio. This week, we welcome new Senator Vijay Smith. Senator Smith, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So how do you like that, Senator Smith?
Well, it was kind of an odd thing leading up to the day that I was sworn in. People would refer to me by that title, and I felt uncomfortable with it.
Right.
Because I really wasn't one. And even now, it's sort of odd. But I'm convinced of this. People call me Senator when I'm out there because they don't know my name. And so it's a lot it's easier. Convenient. You know, when you start calling the maintenance staff, Senator, so people, I'm not carried away with the title. I appreciate the title, but I'm not carried away with it.
Right. Obviously new this year. How has it been? I mean, how's it learning the ropes? Is it harder, easier than you thought?
Oh, much harder.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming. I keep coming back to the two V's, the volume and the variety. And in a half hour's time, you may be hearing about 12 to 14 different subjects and soup to nuts. And they're trying to, the lobbyists and other legislators are trying to educate you as to what certain bills contain. And so that's the hard part. And I don't sleep as much as I'd like to sleep out there. And it's not because of late nights at all. I mean, in terms of going out, I haven't gone out other than to functions that you should go to as a legislator. You get up at 3:30 in the morning and you're studying bills again, and you're responding to emails from constituents, and it's an incredible amount of work. And I'm not complaining. I mean, I signed up for this deal, but my eyes may not have been as wide open as I'd like them to have been.
The thing I've learned in years of covering the legislature is to really learn about a bill, you need to hear it in committee and hear that testimony. So I can't imagine when you just get something on the floor and this is the first time you've seen it, it's like, what am I doing with this?
Right. And I understand why lawyers like to run for office is because of the way bills are written and their brains think like that. And there are three senators in the South Dakota State Senate, two Republicans and one is a judge, but basically an attorney, but mm-hmm. Two Republicans and a Democrat. And yesterday, I couldn't believe it. They all agreed on something, and so I knew it had to be okay.
This is probably a good bill here.
So that's good.
You serve on Education and Taxation, the primary committees, and Military and Veterans Affairs and Retirement, which only meet occasionally. But so Education Committee's already been pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I... When you get elected, the president pro tem asks, what committees do you want to be involved with? Well, for me, even as I ran, I knew I wanted to be on education. I knew it because of my district. I mean, this is a highly educated district. Probably, I'll go on record saying it's the most educated district in the state. And so I knew that I wanted to be there.
And you were involved in education for many years.
Many years. And so I felt a strong background. And we've talked about this before. I have talked in almost every school in South Dakota. And so I've seen the haves and the have-nots. And I sort of understand what a lot of these school districts are going through. And so I felt I could be best served there, or the people could have me best served there. So,
taxation, have you done a lot yet? I honestly haven't been following the taxation committee yet because there's been so much else going on.
Yes.
Yes, of course you have.
And I laughed when they made me vice chair. But now I understand why. Seven-member committee. The mood in South Dakota is always against new taxes and reluctant to change a whole lot. But we have issues in front of us. For an example, happened to be on Wednesday when Jeff Partridge of Rapid City, who authored the famous Partridge Amendment to get the half-cent package passed in 2016 to augment teacher salaries, he's come in with an amendment to the amendment, to his amendment, which is basically...
Partridge amending the Partridge Amendment.
That's right. It basically... showing what that amendment means, because there was some questions about triggers and when should the money start, when it starts rolling in, during what year, is it a calendar year, whatever. There's a lot left undone.
You would, in theory, reduce the amount of the sales tax based on how much other sales tax comes in.
Yeah, for the listeners, it basically said that for every $20 million that was brought in, it would reduce that half cent by, they say, 10%. So it goes 4.5 to 4.4, And so, but no one really knows what that means. And we all understand this. We understand that we don't know. And no one knows how much money is going to be brought in by that out-of-state sales tax. No one knows.
No clue.
There are projections that $50 million, but $18 million would go to municipalities. $32 million is supposed to go to state. But no one knows.
Yeah. So, and it's probably not going to be anywhere near 50 now, the way it sounds.
Not even
at least not 50 additional, because some of it had already been coming in, for one thing.
Some of it's been coming in, but they don't have a good read yet on what might come in. And so that's why this amendment to the amendment for clarification comes in. Disappointed when both the gubernatorial candidates ran last year. As soon as the Wayfair decision came down, they both came out and said that they want tax relief, property tax relief. Well, that sounds great when you're out in the political trail, but there's a reality is we don't know what we're talking about yet. So... but everybody likes the idea of tax relief. I mean, I like the idea
right?
of tax relief.
Sounds
you
great.
And so we have to get there first. And so that's something that'll be discussed in committee on Wednesday, and we're going to have a lot of people listening.
Let's talk a little bit about a couple of specific things. The transgender bill dealing with athletes was killed in the Senate. You voted against it. It sounds like that could be coming back.
I've heard rumblings.
Or the House version, maybe?
Right. I've heard rumblings on the House side. Basically, the same bill would be coming back. And I will stay the course as far as I'm...
There's a policy in place by the High School Activities Association that seems to be working.
It is working.
Right?
Because it probably came as a surprise to a lot of people in that committee that we actually have... They didn't say the number of young people who are participating in athletics that have identified themselves as transgender. It has not been an issue. And I trust South Dakota High School Activities Association to deal with this correctly. So sometimes when the legislature sticks its nose in, I'm not knocking the people who did this, but if it's working, let it work.
Big bill for SDSU, Scobie Hall demolition has cleared the House. It cleared Senate committee, and you're going to take it up on Tuesday in the full Senate?
That's correct.
That's an important bill for SDSU. Scobie Hall is a 1940s building that just doesn't work anymore.
No, and it hasn't been occupied in 2 years. Right. And there's a lot of issues with it. And the funny thing about it is it's going to be brought up. There are certain legislators who are upset. Because a few years ago, 2012, $250,000, $220,000 went in for new windows. And then and it had to be because of the environment. And that we're going to tear it down right away. I understand their concern. But the point is that building opened in 1940. It has served the university for 78 years. I had to laugh because I just had to check this out when I was driving home. Let me say, we don't like buildings to go up and then come down. But eventually they do. They all do. Everything comes down. When Scobie Hall was 21 years old, something called Metropolitan Stadium in Minneapolis was opened for the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
That went for 20 years. Then they tore it down.
Twins got another stadium.
Metrodome. And that was there for another 20 years. They
and it's
tore
gone.
It down. And so things change. Things change, and you have to adapt to the change, you know. And so, you know, what's the opposite? We let an empty building stay vacant.
It's costing the university money
it
right
does.
Now.
Yeah. And I understand from the university people, you know, if that building was brought online again, there's $12 million in deferred maintenance that has to be used, and so it's just silly.
You build new for that cost.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. About a half million to tear it down? Is that what the cost is?
A little over half million. So that to me, and it's HEF money, Higher Education Facilities Fund money, and the money is there. The regents have said it's there. So
it cleared easily in the House. It should pass, correct?
It should pass. But it should pass. You know, that's what I think about a lot of stuff.
Right?
It should pass. What? It didn't? But a postscript to the Scobie story. I'm sorry. You know, when I was involved with the college on the Hill, there's a plaque inside of when you walk in the into the front door of the Scobie Hall, there's a picture of Scobie, and it says James O'Brien Scobie, who was really the founder of
SDSU.
Okay,
yeah.
So 1881 territorial legislator. He doesn't get the penitentiary for Brookings. We get the Cal College. Anyway, there's this plaque to James O'Brien Scobie. The problem is his name was John.
The plaque is wrong. I did not know that.
And then they misspelled his middle name. So here it is. You start a college, and after a while, they kind of forget about you.
Well, I understand the officials of SDSU have said they're going to name another building after Mr. Scobie. Maybe they can get the plaque right this time.
I'll be there coaching them.
Oh, my goodness. Anything else you're looking forward to in the coming week?
No, you know, it's exciting. It is. I have to tell you, Perry, there are a lot of times I sit at my desk and look around and realize the number of people who have probably been there. My great-grandfather was a state senator from Brule County, and you realize the responsibility that you have, and it says my name, and then right below it says Brookings. And I always remember where I come from and the responsibility. And I also realize in the people around me, the other senators, they're trying to do the best they can for their districts. I know, you know, publicity comes to a lot, people who are loud and all that. But for the most part, I have been surrounded by well-intentioned and intelligent people, and I enjoy working with those people because they've helped me a lot as I've moved along in my growth in the Senate. So thank you, Brookings, for allowing me to serve you.
BJ Smith, thank you very much. Your legislators here at Brookings Radio.